Welcome to the Field Trip Podcast. My name is Brent Terhune, as usual, but right across from me is Stuart Huff.
Yeah, Field Trip. Is that what this is called?
The Field Trip Podcast, yes. Well, you're a junk collector, and I have to clarify the word junk because, you know, it's not always junk, but the stores that you go into aren't exactly the high-end antique stores, but it's also not a trashy flea market.
I used to love trashy flea markets, but in the last 20 years, they've changed.
They've gone to you get a lot of wolf blankets.
Yes, wolf blankets and diabetic socks.
Wolf blankets.
Wolf.
You get a lot of mattress, half. It's all half mattresses.
Yeah, and it's just a true flea market's hard to find anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they've changed. So I stopped going to flea markets.
I went to one in Tampa the first time I ever went to Tampa. That's Florida, by the way.
Smiley's.
And I don't remember what it was, but you could buy some gator meat at one booth for $10 out of a van.
Right.
And you could get your picture taken with a gator to help save them. All in the same flea market.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't go to flea markets that much. And if I walk into a place and it is high end, I mean, and it's all smells good and all that, I generally will turn around and walk out. I'm probably not going to waste my time in this place, you know. I'm looking for a pile of junk that I can dig through and cheap and hopefully negotiate a price. You know, I like the hunt. I wonder if it's genetic. I really do.
So are your parents like that then?
My mother she disdains it, but yeah. My father loves it.
So come to fruition in your house? Was your dad always bringing in junk? No.
No, he bowed.
Okay.
He gave up, lost his manhood.
Was that ever like a thing between you and your dad? Like you'd go like, oh, we're stopping at this yard sale. That's a thing you and your dad did.
He would, you know, like one of my earliest memories, maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 early memories, you know what I mean, that you have in your brain, was he used to take me to auctions.
Okay. I remember doing that with your dad too, my dad. Yeah.
Oh, with your dad. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I remember that voice of the guy auctioning, you know, we have to do all that stuff, you know, and my dad would bid on things, you know, but this was early. I mean, they were, you know, my dad was younger and I was probably what, 3, 4, something like that. Who knows? But, yeah, and then my father he would bring home something, but never, there's nothing in our house, okay, in my parents' house. There's no junk up on the wall, there's none of that. It's all in the attic, and he doesn't really have a lot of it. He has some.
Yeah.
But I think he very much just said, your mother doesn't want this in the house, so I'm not going to buy any. But the gene is there, you know, in my dad. Yeah. So I wonder if it is genetic, because it's, I don't know. I've always been like this, you know.
Well, that's similar to me. Because my grandpa grew up in the Great Depression, and that's a lot of people's cop out for a hoarder. And maybe it is. Maybe you had nothing, so now as an adult, you have to save every plastic bag and you have to save every chili container from Wendy's because you'd never know when you're going to need this,
right?
And then now my mom has it, and then. So my wife now, then girlfriend, we lived at my mom's for a little while, and so now we have our own place, and she will say, you have a little bit of that from your mom.
So she's not crazy about this?
She likes stuff.
50 chili, she likes stuff, but nice stuff. Like
my mom or my wife?
No, your wife.
We don't have, there's no chili. We do have bags, but you have a normal amount of...
A normal amount of plastic
You have
bags.
30 bags... In a cabinet.
Right.
And you, once you get a 30, then you throw the rest out.
See, here's the way I am. I don't give a damn about plastic bags.
Yeah, because that's hoarding.
Yeah, I don't think I'm a hoarder. But I will tell you this. If I had a lot of money, my house would look like hoarding. Because I love houses. I've been in a couple that are hoarders houses.
Yeah.
And I love it. Where there's so much crap in the hallway that there's just a small lane for you to walk. I feel comfortable. As strange as this feels, I love the smell of mold. It makes me feel, I'm happy there. You know, I just feel great. But I wouldn't have like moldy National Geographics. I would have stacks and stacks and stacks of old leather aviation goggles.
Okay.
You know, the stuff that I'm into.
Yeah, there's a difference between hoarding and collecting.
But and there's I'm probably a
collector.
But there's
a fine line, you know.
Yeah, I'm probably more of a collector, but I don't, like some people collect radios.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that. I have some radios.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, 4 or 5 off the top of my head, maybe 6 radios. But I just, and I see something and go, whoa, what is that? Or that looks cool. That's a cool looking radio.
Yeah.
And then I look at the price tag and go, the jerks. Who do they think they are? Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, it's yeah, for you, I imagine if you go into a shop and somebody says, what are you looking for? It's like what I say when I go to a store. I say, I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah. I'm looking for almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really not much that I don't have. I really dislike new furniture that someone has tried to make look old.
Yeah.
That is offensive to me in the way that the kids are offended by certain words. I'm offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should
the
be
retro.
Stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be stopped. And the person that's doing it should be shamed, public shaming.
But what is someone to do if they want a retro couch, but they also don't want to pay $1,800 for
you
a
hunt.
Retro?
Yeah? You go. I have, speaking of retro couches, a full couch, okay? Follow me on this. It is velour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are aware of velour.
That,
one of the greatest fabrics. In the history
smooth
of
smooth fabric. I know what it is. Yeah.
It's very soft mm-hmm. and it's almost, it's very 70s. This whole set is very 70s. Mm-hmm. Okay. Full couch, 2 reclining end chairs, 2 coffee tables or 2 side tables, 1 coffee table, 2 red velour lamps that match all the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The furniture itself is gold velour with red, I guess they call it like striping or whatever around the edges.
Yeah.
Piping or whatever. And the lamps are red. The thing looks like it belongs in Elvis's jungle room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I bought all that, you know, $300.
You bought, that was a set.
It was a set.
You didn't have to piece that together.
No,
yeah.
It was, I was in Michigan. I walked into the basement of a junk shop, and there it was. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it had this thing, someone bought it and barely sat on it. I mean, it's perfect, you know? And I bought it immediately because that is fantastic.
Well, because that's the kind of thing that's not going to stick around long. That's the thing where you say, If I come back and it's still there, I'll buy it, but it's never going to be there again.
Yeah, this is going to, anybody with a brain that walks in mm-hmm. here is going to buy this. I mean, it's amazing. And I bought it, and this is a key we can talk about. People like my wife, who I love very much, but she'll say things to me like, well, how are you going to get that home? Or where are we going to put it? Or can we afford that? These questions are annoying, pointless questions is what they are. You see that, you hand someone your credit card, and then you sit there and beam. I was just thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that none of this is going to fit in my car, and this is in Michigan, and I live in Georgia. So I rented a U-Haul and drove it down there and then drove back, got my car, and drove home.
That's you know? The dedication to
sure.
this
and
velour
it's in my,
set.
It is in my house right now, all set up, and mm-hmm. every time I walk in, I think, whoa, that was a good buy.
Yeah. Well, you know? And who would have ever thought that when they sold it to that store that it would end up in Georgia?
Yeah. Which is, I like that part, too.
Yeah.
You know? If you know, we go to Target and you buy some stuff at Target, I don't care. I mean, whatever, that's fine. We need Tupperware, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And then, but when, like, for instance, like my wife puts something in the Tupperware and takes it to work and doesn't bring the Tupperware home, I don't care. I do not care. If someone broke into our home and took our television, I would not be near as upset as I would be if one of those lamps was stolen.
Yeah, or more so busted. Not even stolen,
oh.
But they snuck in the window and busted it. And
I have a gorgeous. You remember that place, that bar that Cam used to run? That
Sinking Ship.
Sinking Ship. Do you remember that bar? And there was a red Elvis lamp.
Okay,
on
yeah.
The bar. I have the blue one.
Okay.
They made 2, maybe 3 colors, and mm-hmm. it's a hideously gorgeous. It's the bust of Elvis in the 70s with the big sash on and everything. Mm-hmm. And the lampshade, which the Sinking Ship I don't think had, but I think theirs was another. But anyway, it's just as hideous, and it's huge, and it's gorgeous, right? And my cat picked its damn claws on that lampshade. And that was 6 years ago that happened, and when I look at that cat, I mean, I have to hold back because I want to punch that cat, you know?
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating a touch, but yeah, I love the junk. I absolutely love it.
How did when you're a kid, that did that manifest, and what were you bringing home as a kid?
Weirder stuff than I am now, mm-hmm. because I didn't have any money, so it came from nature.
And you didn't have any spouse to say no. So.
Yeah, although my mother, yeah.
At the time, was
she'll never listen to this, but when I was a teenager, I got a coffin. I've talked about that before.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And my mother took that away.
People have never heard some of them. You have to talk about the coffin for 30 seconds, and then we'll move on.
Okay. It was a gorgeous coffin.
Yeah.
As far as coffins go, it was absolutely stunning. It was wooden. It was painted black. It had glass on where the face is. So you could close.
Like a viewing window.
It was a viewing window is what it was. You could close the lid and still see the face mm-hmm. of the person. So I installed headphones mm-hmm. in the coffin, and I could lay in it, put the lid on. And that was the best that's the best stereo you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah.
In the coffin is amazing sound.
Wrapped with sound.
Yes, just incredible. And it was a great sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, you just doze off in that coffin, and it was awesome.
Where does one get the coffin?
Where did I get it?
Yeah.
A friend of my parents had they lived on they had a farm, right? Mm-hmm. And they had a Halloween party. And we all went. And they had that coffin as a joke that they had pulled out of some basement or whatever. And I knew immediately that coffin is going home with me.
Yeah.
And I talked to them and eventually got it. I don't think, maybe I did buy it with lawnmower money or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly, because I don't care whatever the exchange was. But, you know, I came home from school one day and the coffin was gone because my mother is like, she
threw out the coffin.
I'm not going to let my son sleep in a coffin. That's
usually moms throw
gross.
Out porno mags or drugs.
Yeah, well, she threw out those too. But my mom would throw away, so I would have to hide stuff.
Okay.
But you can't hide a coffin. It's hard to hide a coffin.
Speaking of seeing something and knowing that it's going to come home with you, you have an item that, since I've seen it, I've always wanted.
Really?
And at the end of this podcast, I will have it. With by any means necessary, you have a George Carlin poster that was put up at like a college.
I don't know if you can have that, Brent.
Well,
I love you, and I would give you things.
I haven't thrown out a price, but
okay.
I knew it was going to be a struggle. So I've in hand cash right now. I have 15 whole dollars.
Well, I don't know how you're carrying around the weight of that.
I know.
I have some good Carlin items.
Yeah.
Some real good. Is that's the one you want specifically?
That's the only one I've seen. I don't know what you have.
All right. Well, I might gift you with some Carlin, but that particular one, I actually have a destination for that.
Oh, man.
But I might just give it to
you. Can
you
talk about what your destination is for it?
It was 1973.
And it was 74. Like a poster for a college campus, right?
IU.
Okay.
It's IU.
Did you get it here in because right
no.
now we're currently in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah, I did not get it here.
Okay.
I think I found it in Florida, I think.
And that again, that's you taking the couches from Michigan to Georgia. How does a Bloomington, Indiana George Carlin poster end up in Florida and is now in Georgia?
Yeah. How did this thing, and it's like it's spread all over, you mm-hmm. know, and you find weird things. There is like regions of the country that you're more likely to find certain things, which makes sense.
Is that, you know? That just comes from you junk hunting, right?
Yeah, you notice stuff. I mean, if you're into, you know, like seafaring kind of things mm-hmm. in New England, you're going to find more stuff.
For sure.
Whaling. You know, all that kind of stuff, you're going to find more. But you also occasionally see it in Arizona. And mm-hmm. like, what the hell, you know? What probably the best thing I have as far as like if there was some kind of antique appraiser or something, is I have a mermaid masthead that went on the front of a ship.
Yeah.
And I found that in Tennessee.
And that's on the back or front cover of your album.
Is it?
The picture
of
it.
Yeah, I'm carrying it through. Yes. And I found that in Tennessee. And the couple had retired from Maine to Tennessee. And so, you know, but the Carlin thing is from Indiana University. Whoops, I just dropped this cap. And I don't know why, but I've never said this out loud, but I've always just thought, you know, when I'm done, I'll give it to the Comedy Attic.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't want to get all, but Comedy Attic is the room that I feel like I belong.
Well, you're recording your album this week, so how many, you've recorded two or three albums here?
Four, five.
Okay.
I don't remember, to be honest. But the first one I did not record here. The second one I did not record here, and all the other ones I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for you, it's like a weekly reset of material. You come back here, you record something.
Yeah. When I come here, I record.
What are some items that you've seen on the road that you've regret? Because I have some that you've not bought.
Oh, God. This is painful to talk about. Painful. Mm-hmm. There was this shop. Oh, Brent. South of Rome, Georgia.
Because you're a road comic. You have your spots. When you go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, you know what the shop is. So was this one of your spots?
In Fayetteville, there's an old middle school that is shut down and now turned into a junk shop.
See, and that's something where we didn't talk beforehand. I said Fayetteville, and you're like, I got the shop there.
Yeah, and I will tell you that you just happened to pull out one that I knew, but you know, there's a lot that I don't, but that one I knew immediately, you know? And so south of Rome, Georgia, about 40 miles south, is the weirdest, one of the weirdest, it's fantastic and hideous. It's a weird building that you picture like a normal looking building that someone has built an extension on the back and then built another extension on top of that and then another, and they just kept going until now it doesn't really look like a building. Now it looks more like a snake. It's like this weird, and they're not even the same color.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran out of paint apparently. I mean, it's just like this hut of junk. And what the guy does is he buys a house is going to be torn down or someone passes away. He makes an offer on everything. So he buys everything in the house, and he will strip it. And I mean, we're talking, he takes nuts and bolts off doors. And if you're looking for anything, like you need the screw that goes to a, 1922 front door. He has it in there.
Yeah.
It's, you just have to find it. And he kind of, it's separated into like kitchen stuff, you know, bedroom stuff. It's just all in there. So it's a little painful to even talk about. In the very back of this snake is where he keeps kitchen tables.
Okay.
Okay. So it's just a ton of these kitchen tables all stacked up on top of each other. Chairs are everywhere.
Well, that's a testament to how big this place is when you have a room of kitchen tables.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, oh, I got two or three scattered around, but here's the kitchen table room.
I'm going to guess some probably, 400 in there. I mean, they're everywhere. All different sizes. Some of them are missing all the chairs. Some of them have all the chairs. Mm-hmm. You just have to find them. So there was a table made. I don't know the year because I'm not that type of collector. I don't care about how much things are worth. I don't care about when they were made. I don't care. Do I want this?
Mm-hmm.
That's the.
Yeah, you aren't a guy that to concern yourself with a first edition.
No. So there was a table made in the 60s, sometime in the 60s when the whole space age, we're going to the moon and whatever. So it's that, and it's white, and the chairs, they look like if you have picture if you had an egg, and it was, you stood it up on its end so that it gets, the smaller part is pointing towards the sky.
Mm-hmm.
If you had an egg like that and you sliced it like sideways, and then you could sit in it. You follow me?
Yeah.
So it was a kitchen table that came with five of those
egg chairs.
And it looks very NASA, that kind of space race to the moon kind of thing. So I'm in there and I see it and I look at it. It's $100. I mean, I've seen one chair for $1,000.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know anything about what you're talking about, but I would venture to say that it should have been $500.
I mean, a kitchen table
mm-hmm.
is more than $100 with the chairs, even if they're stupid chairs, so it's $100 for the whole set. And I was running late. I was like, I got to go to the show. Mm-hmm. I got to load. How am I going to load this in my car? I got to go to the show. I'll come back and get it. I can't. I went back. The next day it's gone.
The next day. That's a heartbreaker where it's like.
Didn't it?
I'll just come back and get it and it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, all I had to do. I'm such a moron. All I had to do was look at the guy and say, hey, here's $100. I'll be back to pick it up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I was literally like, you know, show's at 8 o'clock. It's 7:52 and I'm still in this junk shop. Yeah. I got to go.
There's a one of my
if
things.
If you can hear that outside, that's the rain.
Yeah, it's raining. It's called ambiance.
Yeah.
One of mine, I probably, if I think about it, there's more, but my wife and I go to the Covered Bridge Festival, and it's around Terre Haute, Indiana. Mm-hmm. We're coming back to Terre Haute.
Terre Haute is weaving its way into this podcast.
But it's small towns outside of Terre Haute, and of course, it's all centered around these covered bridges, but then there's all these towns that pretty much nothing goes on except for 2 weeks a year there's this festival. Mm-hmm. And like one year the quintessential thing we saw was this lady had a stroller, but it had a cage over the top of it, and she was walking her parrot.
Ooh, nice.
In public.
That's not, was it, you think this was homemade?
I mean, I've never seen Do a they parrot make, stroller.
Yeah, me neither.
So I imagine, you know, her husband or whoever fashioned this parrot stroller. Built,
yeah. I would love to own that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll, if I see her next year.
I would love to own that. I would give her your 15 and I'll reimburse you. Here's one of the things on my list. I have this vague kind of always changing list of stuff I'm kind of mm-hmm. looking for. Most of it is I will never find it, mm-hmm. you know. But one of the things is during World War II in England, during the Blitz, they built a baby stroller that had a gas mask attached to it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So you would put your baby in this stroller that had a steel lid to protect the baby from debris, and it was hooked. The baby itself was hooked up to a gas mask.
That's hopeful thinking. It's also like here's worst case scenario, mm-hmm. but also hopeful thinking inside of that.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I'm gonna have to bring the baby into battle.
Yeah,
but also he's gonna be just fine.
Right, he'll be fine.
Yeah, if it comes down to bringing the kid in the battle. Just you might as well hang it up.
But it's also kind of like the exactly, and it's funny and dark and weird. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of like if humanity's to the point where we're building gas mass child strollers.
Yeah,
maybe we all take a look at what we're doing. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe we could all just stop for a minute and have a talk about this. You know, I mean that dark stuff is. I remember some things are interesting. Like the hunt takes so long that when you do finally find it, it's almost like orgasmic. It's like really like, I can't believe, like on my podcast, I don't know if he's released it yet because it's Matt Holt.
And what is your podcast called? Cause I'll plug it at the beginning of this, but,
Stuart Huff's Obsessive Curiosities. Mm-hmm. And my podcast, I bring on an item of junk, and I have guests and you've been on it.
Cause when I was on, it was your wooden leg collection.
Yeah. Which they're great, aren't
they?
Yeah. Wooden leg collection.
Who would have thought there were different types of wooden legs?
Not me. I saw my first wooden leg in a junk shop and thought, how much is the... Oh, my God. They're jerks. These people just are jerks. They think everything they own is worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So then I put it on my list of one day I'm going to find a cheap wooden leg. And then I did. And then year or two, whatever later, I see another one. And another, and I keep, so over span of 25, 30 years, I have 7 or 8 of them. Mm-hmm. And then when you get them and look at them, you can see the advancement that we've made. All the little intricate little, we made them better and better and better mm-hmm. over the years.
Lighter wood that could probably get wet,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's amazing. Am I talking too low?
No, you're good.
Okay. So I saw years, I mean, I was in my 20s, so it was 50 years ago. I saw this beautiful engraving mm-hmm. on a wall. And it was one of those medical things where there's like 4 or 5 different things going on. Like here's a dodo bird and here's a crocodile mm-hmm. and here's a boil, you know, whatever. And there was one little engraving in the corner that just caught my eye. And there was a guy sitting in a chair. It looked very, I'm trying to remember years. I don't know, but it was medieval.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a guy sitting in the chair, and there's a doctor, I use that term lightly, behind the man.
Yeah.
and he's drilling into his skull, okay, with some sort of primitive-looking drill.
Yeah.
Hand-cranked drill.
This was no DeWalt or Craftsman.
No, he's not plugged in.
Yeah.
He's hand-cranking into this drill, or into his brain. And I thought, holy crap, what is that? What's going on there? And the engraving was too expensive because people are jerks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just kept going back to, I actually remember I walked around that junk shop a couple of times, but then I would go, I'm going to go back and take a look at that. And I would go back and look at that. Like, what? I've never seen that. This is crazy. And so that image of that dude sitting there, and he looked like he was totally in pain, which I'm sure he was,
mm-hmm.
and the drill. Well, about a decade later, I find the drill. I'm in a junk shop. Mm-hmm. That's the damn drill that guy was had. So I'm looking at it, and I buy the drill. It's reasonable because those people weren't jerks, and and it's even got bits that come with it, right?
Like how lobotomized are you trying to get?
First of all, these bits, they'd put a quarter size hole in your skull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're not small. And to drill hand crank through a skull,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a sharp. I mean, these things, they look like, they look nasty. They look like horror movie. When you put them on this drill and you look at them, you're like, holy crap, don't get close to me with that thing.
And, you know, the guy in the picture is awake.
He's totally awake. Yeah. So then I buy the drill and I'm happy, right? And I go home. And, you know, I'm trying it out of my cat and all, you know, all that, you know.
Well,
what I mean?
You scratch my Elvis lamp. This is what happens.
Thank you. Nice. See, if this thing was called Callback, then a bell would ring and someone would win a hot dog.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know?
Wrap it up, fellas.
So then I start getting interested in what this drill is. And I look, it's called trepanning.
Mm-hmm.
It's quote unquote medical condition. We found thousands and thousands of skulls with holes in them, where you would just drill a hole in someone's head. And the idea, but this is presumptuous, anthropologists think, is it was like you were sick, so you obviously are possessed by demons.
Mm-hmm.
So you drill a hole in someone's skull, and it releases the evil. But here's where it gets fascinating. There are lots of people, and I say lots, I don't know how many, but you awake?
Yeah.
There are people that disagree with that theory, which, you know, that's just a guess, you know, that their idea is this. When our brains develop, right, we're born early because we were walking on all fours and then we went upright.
Mm-hmm.
So then the baby's born early. Okay. So the skull tightens around the brain way too tight. The brain actually doesn't move that much. If you drill into your skull, you release a little bit of pressure. And it allows the brain to have a little movement, a little bit of, you know, air. And it's euphoric is what I'm told. So in 1974, five, something like that, there's a woman in Britain who just took a DeWalt drill and just she bandaged herself up and took a shot of whiskey and drilled into her own skull and just cleaned it up. Cleaned up all the blood, ate a steak to replenish the protein mm-hmm. in her body, and then went to a party. And she's still got a hole in her skull.
Hopefully it was a costume party. It was like a ball gown party.
Yeah.
And you're bleeding. But if you're a costume party, you're like, man, that's pretty good.
So she filmed the whole thing. She made a documentary of this.
Okay.
She filmed the whole thing. Okay. Now, apparently, they released this film in, like, there's an art house theater in New York. Probably Andy Warhol was probably involved somehow. Mm-hmm. He was involved in everything. People are totally grossed out because they, without editing, without cuts, they show her drill into her skull. So they're grossed out. No one wants to see it. They're all like,
mm-hmm.
So then she kind of just lost interest and lost the print. So there, we do have some footage of this. And someone just a couple years ago made a documentary. It's on Netflix right now, or was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
They showed the footage we have of her, which you can still see her drilling into her own skull.
Yeah.
And she's not the only one that's done it.
Well, did she experience euphoria?
Yes. And she still claims to this day, she's done interviews recently that I've read, she still claims that she does not recommend that you do this.
Mm-hmm.
But she went to doctors in the 70s and asked to have this done, and they were all like, we're not doing that. It's an unnecessary procedure.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that. So she, in her words, had to do it herself.
She's a DIY gal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, take a nice Saturday, Go down to Home Depot, drill in your skull.
Why not?
When she's drilling, is this the top of the skull? Is this
front.
The back?
She drilled
front?
Kind of front top.
Kind so of, like right below your hairline, maybe?
If you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah. You know? If you're me, it's a little higher.
You know? Yeah, I mean, she and you can, like, still, that was in the 70s, and, like, in this new documentary that this person made, you can see the indention. I mean, the skin grows back over, mm-hmm. of course, but you can see the indention. I mean, the skull is not going to grow. It's a large hole.
Mm-hmm.
And she is still, she says it's like she's happier than she's ever been, and since the day she drilled into her head, she said she just feels euphoric. She said every day she wakes up, and she just feels happy and good. She doesn't have nightmares anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she described it as being slightly on psychedelics every day of your life.
I mean, to some people, that's a definite incentive.
Yeah. But here's the point of me telling you all that is, like, that's another thing I like about junk. Is like
you just told me a 5-minute story about the one piece that you bought.
Yeah. I learned all that because I went, what is that guy doing mm-hmm. there? You know, and then over a span of a decade, I kind of was thinking about that drill and some, you know, tiny, and then I see it and now I learned about, and I've got all kinds of stuff like that. Like, what is this? Mm-hmm. How did they do this? And whatever. And then I and people I've learned where I'm just like, that person looks interesting, but I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's $5. Okay. I'll take a gamble. And I buy it and I research it and learn something. I just like, to me, it's like you go to Target, you buy what you need, you go home.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I go to a junk shop. I got no clue what I'm going to come out of here with.
Jeopardy has the category potpourri.
Nah,
you don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
You're walking into the potpourri section of Jeopardy.
Right.
And you
it's
have
so cool.
No idea.
Like right now in my car, I've got two tubs full of junk, you mm-hmm. know, and I have a theremin speaker in my car right now.
And I know what that is, but tell people what the theremin is.
Well, like a theremin is an instrument.
I busted a girl's theremin once.
I'm going to allow you to keep laughing. Go ahead. Enjoy yourself.
I'm done.
Okay.
Okay, came back.
I absolutely love being a comic. There's very few thrills better than being on stage, telling a joke, hearing absolute silence, and then in the very back of the room comes the Terhune giggle. I love it.
Usually, if there's only a comic laughing in the back, it means the joke was really good or the show's going really bad.
And I know you're laughing because it's going that bad. You're back there giggling at me, which I'm perfectly fine with. I don't care.
But back to your theremin.
A theremin is an instrument that was, it's fascinating stuff. Mm-hmm. If you really get into it and like how it works and who invented it and all this, theremin is a guy that invented it, you know. And you're a horror movie guy, right? You like horror movies.
Yep.
It's used a lot in horror movies. Ooh, all that sound.
And I think, you know, famously in music, maybe it would be one of those Beach Boys songs.
Yes, that was, I don't know if maybe that's the
good
most.
Good Vibrations,
it's in that.
Yeah.
It's maybe the most popular song it was ever used in.
Yeah, but it's very, if you are in like a mad scientist lab and mm-hmm. you need to set the tone sound-wise, you would play a theremin, and it's played with your hands, right? It's kind of like an L shape.
Yeah, there's a wooden box, and I'm not a musician. I've never built a theremin. I don't really know details, so don't get all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm telling you, listener, right now, I know basics.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wooden box. There's a steel rod that sticks straight up, and there's another one that sticks out to the side. And you have energy in your body, you know, and it moves, like you get close to those bars and it starts to make a noise. It's the energy in your body. And then you pull your hand a different way and it changes. And it begins to, it's higher pitched than that, but mm-hmm. I just did a show where I yelled a lot. I've got no voice. And you can play it. You know, a skilled musician can play that noise mm-hmm. and, you know. And I've always wanted one. It's on my list of, but I'll never find one. Not, I mean, even if I do see one in a mm-hmm. junk shop, it's $20,000 probably. Mm-hmm. But there was a speaker made, not specifically for the theremin, but most theremin players use this one type of speaker.
Mm-hmm.
One that, and I don't really even know why, but it's a gorgeous speaker. It's really pretty. It's a pretty piece of furniture. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing's huge. And I found it recently, you know.
Yeah.
So it's in my car right now. And, you know, I mean, you know, so like the theremin's another good example. Like, I learned about that and went and just and wanted to know, how do you play this thing? So I researched it and learned all about the guy, theremin. Mm-hmm. And he made incredible inventions. And I learned all about, I just like that kind of, I don't know anything about this.
You like, to me, that's like if you watch American Pickers or Pawn Stars, where they do the 20-second, here's the, you know, the backstory to this type of bed frame.
Right, yeah.
But you are doing extensive, like, you know, you're earning college credit in the theremin.
Yeah, I don't know. I get into it. I'm curious.
And that's what you discuss on Obsessive Curiosities. It's an in-depth dive into your junk collection.
Well, it's my idea for the podcast, which I don't know how many episodes we achieve this. But my idea is, when I saw this item, I was interested in it. So I'm going to plop it down in front of some friends and see if they're interested and where they take it.
Mm-hmm.
So we could start talking about wooden legs and end up talking about, you know, philosophy, or, you know, should there be public swimming pools? I don't know where we're going.
Yeah.
But to me, these items sparked interest. And any curious person should think things when I say, you know, look at this, you know. So I like to go into it thinking, yeah, I'm going to tell you about this piece of junk, but we're going to end up in places that I didn't expect. So I don't plan at all for it, you know, which I think is fun.
Do you have any other, because I've started that story of this item that I should have bought.
Yes.
And I.
Did I interrupt that story?
No, it's, okay. I was talking about the parrot thing.
I thought that was it.
No, that was just what I saw the lady have.
Whoa.
Just to kind of.
It gets better than the parrot stroller?
You see the parrot stroller, but then that for every lady walking her parrot, there's a booth that has Trump 2020.
Sure.
So, you know, that. But yeah. In this basement of this antique store, and it's one of those antique stores where it's, they sell the primitive art, but you see it at every booth, so it looks, you know, deceivingly old, but you're like, there's a mammy at this booth, there's a mammy at that booth.
Yeah.
One of those things. But in the bottom of this basement is a mailbox, you know, just the mailbox, not the actual wood piece you sit it on, but it's of a White Castle restaurant.
That would interest me.
Yeah, and it was like we went one year and then we went back in the fall when there's literally nobody in that town just to, you know, have a day to ourselves. And it was still at that store. And I regret not buying it, even though the house where we lived at the time, we had a mailbox that was not up by the street. And at our house now, our mailbox is by the front door. So if I bought it, there's no use for this White Castle mailbox.
Yes, there's plenty of uses.
I know. That's the thing is, you know, but who takes the time to make a mailbox that is of a White Castle?
I love it. I want to meet the person, and I want to ask them that question.
Then also, why did you go for a White Castle?
Yeah, why White Castle?
Why not McDonald's?
I love it.
I have tons of questions.
See, I understand that type of thinking for whatever reason. We started at the beginning. I don't know if it's genetic or not. It makes sense to me that you would spend significant portion of your life making porcupines out of pine cones. That makes total sense to me. Other things that are more quote unquote normal make no sense to me at all. I don't understand why you would, you know, get
buy
a
sign that says live, laugh, love.
I don't. It's just, I get so depressed when I see those things. I don't know much in life, but I do know this. Well-behaved women do not need. Okay. I hate that crap.
Yeah.
You know, you want to buy some, why don't you put a little more dedication into it, you know?
One time, and this is the opposite of how my wife and I are, she was in like a Michael's looking for some craft stuff, and there's this lady with her husband in the aisle, and this is kind of an inside joke that we say all the time, but the guy's like, what about this? And he holds up whatever, and she goes, I told you we're doing farmhouse chic. And that's our inside joke of, you know, when you make fun of another couple.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's fine if you like farmhouse chic. That's mm-hmm. if that's your thing, cool. Mm-hmm. But it's not our thing. Because you can walk in that lady's house and you can walk in this lady's house and it's all the same house.
Yes, it's all the same. And it's interesting how when you go to enough junk shops, you see the same thing in through all decades. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like everybody was interesting and all throughout. And then all of a sudden now we're buying just the same crap. Mm-hmm. They bought the same crap in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s because you see, you know, like, the same light fixture, and so you know so many people bought that damn thing in mm-hmm. 1975. You know,
but
what
eventually
I mean?
In 1975, let's say if they sold 100,000 in 1990, maybe 50,000 were around, and now in 2020, maybe, I don't know, 20,000 of those are spread out across the world. Now that's mm-hmm. vintage.
Right.
So now in 2070, there's going to be some kid on a podcast saying, I have mm-hmm. this vintage live, laugh, love sign.
I don't know. That's depressing. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You're a record collector as well. And I was talking just in conversation to, I think, a mutual friend, Kevin Downey Jr., who's a record collector. And I said, whenever I go, especially if you dig at a Goodwill, mm-hmm. all the good stuff is gone, but sure. there's certain artists that you come across time and time again. And one of those that I mentioned was a guy named Al Hurt,
mm-hmm.
which I know nothing about.
The Mound of Sound, baby.
See, you know the guy, like
the Mound of Sound. That's what he called himself.
I like that. It's no like Mel Torme, Velvet Fog or whatever.
Yeah,
his name
Velvet
was.
Fog.
But just when you see Al Hurt time and time again, you feel bad for the guy because all his records ended up in Goodwill.
Well, yeah, but I would counter that with this. That dude sold so many records.
That's what I was going to say is there's a reason, you know, who knows in 20 years if, you know, you see Beatles records everywhere. They mm-hmm. still hold a price because it's good music.
It's the Beatles.
Yeah.
But people will say to me, like, I have some Elvis records.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have anything worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many records Elvis sold? I mean, he's the biggest. So 90% of the records that Elvis released are worthless. They're mm-hmm. worth zero. They're not worth a nickel. You know, there's a handful that are rare, you know, but you probably don't have them. You know,
yeah.
when just some random person says, I got some Elvis records or I have some Beatles records. You know, and then when the records that are worth money are the ones that it was that band in Indianapolis who worked out of their garage and got onto some local, you know, record label and they pressed 500 and it was 1968 and it's all psychedelic crap. And that's worth money because you can't find them. You know? So, I mean, but like. You look, you start looking through records. It's the same thing as like telephones or all that stuff. You see the ones that everybody bought. Herb Albert, you know, and his Tijuana Brass. That dude raked it in.
Yeah,
I mean, he sold a ton. Al Hurt is everywhere. I mean, they.
Bill Cosby. When you thumb through,
oh my gosh.
Now it's for a different reason. Some people like, you know, you found out what he did and you get rid of the Bill Cosby records.
Sure, but they've always been around. I mean, Bill Cosby's records are worth nothing,
mm-hmm.
and not that I care what they're worth, but what I'm saying is, like, they sold a ton of stuff. They're everywhere, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I found some rare comedy records, and they're. I mean, I don't know the value because I don't really look up records.
Yeah, you're not a guy that's immediately pulls out his phone to check eBay.
Right. But
which is also so weird when I'll go to a Goodwill and now everybody's on their phone because now everybody's flipping the stuff, which is good. But you also have to know that the guy that's putting this stuff out on the shelves is doing that for Goodwill.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
getting the filtered product.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know. When I started, when I was younger, you could find stuff in Goodwill.
Well, yeah, that was when it was not, I don't know, quote unquote, cool to go. Now there's five shows on TV about somebody bringing in something.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, I kind of do like it. I'm kind of split on it. I love the fact that I'll be in a junk shop and I'll see a 16-year-old digging through records.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. good for them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I usually try to strike up conversations and talk to them about whatever they're into and this and that. Because when I was a kid, I had older people that would be like, oh, yeah, you like Bob Dylan? Have you ever heard of this? And they would give me some obscure thing mm-hmm. that I fell in love with, and I still listen to this day.
Yeah, everybody's you know? Got, if it's not your brother, it's got you got the guy down at the record store, which now that's going to be so weird because there's not a record store to go to. Mm-hmm. Eventually, those will be good. There's not a video store. There is, but they're novelties by now. So, I don't know. Do you just get a recommendation of, hey, have you ever heard this on Spotify? It'll be weird because there's not going to be that guy that's like, oh, you like this? You should listen to this. Now Spotify does that.
It does it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a shame to me. But maybe it's just because I'm old.
It's a shame, but it's also now you can listen to 50 artists instead of the three that you listened to when you were a kid.
Yeah. But, you know, and I keep reminding myself because I told myself when I was younger that I'm not going to be that old guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying hard not to turn into that old guy.
And what do you mean? You're the guy that... How do you mean? Which old guy are you talking about?
Like the guy that's just anything that is new can't be as good as it was.
Okay, yeah.
I don't believe that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it kind of kicks in. It's like I want to tell someone, like I just want to tell someone that is like never listen to a record on a record player with good speakers and a good needle. You don't know what you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you're listening to on Spotify can't come close to turning the lights out and putting on, you know, Black Sabbath's first album.
And your coffin.
In your coffin, yeah, in your Naga Hide chair, whatever you got are hanging around.
Are you a Black Sabbath guy?
I love Black Sabbath.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite bands, too.
I figured it was.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a surprise to most people.
I mean, I'm not a heavy metal guy, but I mean, I don't care what music it is. A good band's a good band,
mm-hmm.
and Black Sabbath was incredible. They were an amazing band,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah, I still listen to, especially those first three albums, you know?
Yeah.
Paranoid, yeah. Master of Reality, and, you know.
The self-titled Black Sabbath.
Yes.
I think Paranoid, you know, I've not listened to all the music in the world, but from mm-hmm. front to back, Paranoid could be at least one of the best metal albums, if not album. You know, there's always a debate with music, but
right.
I'm like, there's not a track on there that I skip.
Yeah, I don't think so with me either. And there's something, to me, there's something about putting that on a record player
mm-hmm.
that is just superior. And I don't think that's totally an old man statement.
No. Well, and I sound pretentious when I say it, but there's like that vinyl warmth that you can't
there
reproduce.
Is. But there's also
with ones and zeros.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't sound as human.
Mm-hmm.
It does, you know, but let's get into this weird thing that has nothing to do with junk. 'Cause it's interesting to me. And see if you disagree, okay?
Okay.
There's also an aspect of foreplay. Follow me on this.
I know exactly what you're talking about, where you lick your finger. No.
No.
Get in the theremin.
No, Holt.
Okay,
listen,
sorry.
Holt. you're driving home from work,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're like, oh, I want to listen to Al Hurt. You know, or maybe you're at work, right? And you think, all I want to do is listen to Black Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm really in the mood to listen to that. Well, now you can at work. You can put
right
in
now.
Little, right now, you can listen to, put in your little earbuds or whatever, and no one notices them, and you can get away with listening to that,
mm-hmm.
right? And let's say you can't do that at work. Okay, the second you get in your car, you can. The second you walk out the door from work, you can pick up your phone. And when you had to drive home, there was that space of time where desire was building, which made things better.
Mm-hmm.
I think a little foreplay makes life better. Your little desire. And
that delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Where it felt like you worked for something. Even though all you did was drive home, go to the record shelf, look for the bees,
mm-hmm.
pull that out, take the other record off the player,
mm-hmm.
then put it on.
Yeah.
I did that recently with a U2 album. And mm-hmm. you can say I don't know how you feel about U2, but they catch a lot of flack, and I get it. But
I like the early stuff. I don't know if that's a common thing.
I think
people
early,
say.
It's normal to like the early stuff, but I like all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I'm also late to the U2 party.
Okay, yeah.
So I like the new stuff too.
There's a ton of bands that I'm late to the party.
Oh yeah, well it's endless. You know, it's never. I don't know. It's sometimes I feel bad because I'm not going to get to listen to all the music. But I also should just appreciate the music that I like.
Right.
But what I was saying is U2 had a new album out a year or two ago. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. They sent to everybody's iTunes
which
or whatever.
That one's good. I like that album
Everybody
a lot
got pissed.
On their phone, which I agree, disagree, because that's an invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
You should have just said, do you want this? And I would say, yes.
Right. You should have at least been asked.
Yeah. Don't just put it on my phone.
Right.
But... It comes out, it's on Spotify and Apple Music. I bought it on vinyl, which again, you could buy new vinyl and it's whatever. It's a very hipster thing to do. But I didn't listen to the album till I got the thing in the mail and played it on the record player. And I would talk to friends, they're like, did you hear that U2? And I'd be like, no, I'm waiting for delayed gratification, but that it was. I was waiting for this thing to come in the mail so I could listen to it that way.
It's great.
Yeah.
And there was something about getting it. Mm-hmm. First of all, just getting it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're missing that, and I think it's going to get worse. And it you know, like, here's a crazy story that I've told before, but my mom tells me this story that you want to talk about delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. My mom is her family was like one of seven kids, I think. So they lived east of Nashville, like a good 45 minutes east of Nashville, something like that. So anyway, there was a radio show when she was a kid called Night Train. It was out of Nashville, and they played R&B stuff. They played the hits, James Brown, Temptations, that kind of stuff. My mother loved the Supremes,
mm-hmm.
Okay? If the wind was blowing east... It had to be. If it was steel or blowing the other way, then you couldn't pick it up
mm-hmm.
with your little radio antenna that you had to put aluminum foil on the end.
Mm-hmm.
But they would sit in the yard. You couldn't pick it up in the house. You had to bring the radio on a cord outside and put aluminum foil. And if the wind was blowing east, then you could pick that station up. Now, there's a 1 in 500 chance that they're going to play your song. But if they did, and the wind was blowing the right direction, and everything went right, you imagine how nuts you went?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And we can listen to the Supremes right now in Russian in a second and a half.
Yeah. It's guaranteed that we can listen to it.
Yeah.
They would listen to that radio show. Maybe they'll play it tonight.
Maybe they won't. Yeah. That in itself is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will they? Will they not? You know, all this. I mean, it's just... All that is just what I call foreplay. It's just foreplay. Mm-hmm. And you take all that away, and then you realize the Supremes weren't really that good.
Yeah, but...
You know?
But it was part of the, you know, the anticipation of Here It Comes.
Yeah.
Is that it? No, that's a different knockoff Supremes.
Yeah.
It's like with eBay, I like collecting certain toys, horror figures or the Simpsons figures. Mm-hmm. And I can go on eBay right now and buy everything I want.
Right.
But I don't because, one, if I bought everything I wanted, I would be broke.
True.
But also, there's something about walking around a flea market or a toy store and just being like, oh, that's the thing right there.
There it is.
And then you talk to the guy and you find out that he's retiring and he's doing these last three big toy shows in the Midwest. And you get the guy's story.
Yeah.
On top of that, you don't get that with eBay unless you want to be weird and say, hey,
right.
Why do you sell toys?
Why do you sell toys, weirdo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the whole thing, you know. And I have way too much junk. Way too much.
As we wrap up, give me a couple items that are your prized possessions. Not monetary, but, you know, if there's a fire, you're grabbing that.
I mean, it would be hard, you know. I need to say, to sound like a decent human, my kids, I would grab them.
Well, that's,
I mean, but, okay.
That's after that. Your kids are out by the curb.
But I don't
so
want my
cat that you hate.
But I don't want my kids to listen to this and go, he named 19 things and not didn't name me. I have a large collection, fairly large collection of hair art, which I'm...
What does large mean? How many pieces?
20. 25.
What is hair art?
Hair art, which you think is disgusting.
Probably, but yeah. Depends on what hair we're talking about.
Before photography, and it overlapped a little bit into photography, but mm-hmm. before photography was invented, you know, first of all, most families would have large number of kids, and you were going to lose some. That's the way it
was. Just
went.
The numbers game back before vaccinations.
Sure.
And
so what is very typical is to shave the head or cut off, you know, decent amount of hair. And jewelers, and I didn't know that until I found my first piece of hair art.
Mm-hmm.
Jewelers, most of them also did this hair art. So you would take a big clump of hair of your deceased, you know, whoever, and child.
This is post-mortem. They're cutting the hair off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you bring it into the jeweler, and they would weave it. I mean, this is delicate work. Mm-hmm. This is under a magnifying glass. You know, they would weave it into a wreath or some little design. And people even put them, like, in buttons. I've found two buttons that you could make a button out of someone's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all just for remembrance. That was it. So people would display them on their wall. This is my dead, you know, child.
So-and-so's, yeah.
Yeah, and they would write. Some of them have little poems and, you know, things like that. But once photography kind of came in, it started kind of dying out, if you don't mind the expression. And,
hey.
You know? And it did, because humans suck. It got into this thing of ostentatiousness where if you had money, like, you could get we're talking, I've got one that's about the size of a Christmas wreath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's very slim chances it's one person's hair.
Yeah.
You know, but they were just showing off. This is how much, because it wasn't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but
showing off monetarily wise, but it's also weird. Look how many people in my life have died.
Yeah. I mean, so I really like my collection of hair art. I mean, you want to talk comedy? Here's a Carlin thing that is by far my best Carlin mm-hmm. piece. K-Jo. K-J-O-E.
Mm-hmm.
K-J-O-E. Yes, K-J-O-E. So Carlin, did you read his biography?
Yeah, Last Words.
Yeah. So yeah. His plan as a young man was to join the Army. Or I think he was in the Army or Navy. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, but he's in the service, right? And he wanted to go from there and get into radio. And then from radio, then he would develop a comedy act mm-hmm. and then become a comedian. And then they would have to let him into the movies. Mm-hmm. And he would become Danny Kaye. That was his youthful dream.
Which, as a kid, if, you know, logically it makes sense, you know.
Yeah, makes sense. So he is in, according to his biography, he's in Shreveport, Louisiana, mm-hmm. stationed, and the local station was K-Jo. K-J-O-E was the call letters, and he went down to, I'm blanking on the guy's name that owned the station right now, but no one cares. So he went down to the station and basically said, I want to work here. So he ends up getting a job at this radio station as he becomes eventually a DJ. So mm-hmm. The dude's 18 or something.
Yeah.
I found in Louisiana, it's just an advertisement. It's a piece of like 8x10 paper, but it's colorful and it says, listen to K-Jo. Mm-hmm. We have all the hits. And then they list like the top 20, Billboard top 20 hits, right? And then on the right side are faces of the DJs. Carlin's on there.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So this is, he has not done a set yet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, he's never been on stage as a comedian.
This is just radio Carlin.
Yeah. This is, and he looks 15 in this thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's probably my favorite comedy related thing. I mean, could be.
Where'd you say you found that?
In Louisiana, in a junk shop that smelled like cat piss. It was amazing. It was so wonderful.
Now, was somebody selling it because it was an old advertisement, or they're like, circle it, here's George Carlin?
No, I here's a tip if anybody likes junk that, I don't know, maybe everybody knows this, and I'm an idiot, probably. But if you see, especially if you're in a real junk shop, mm-hmm. like piles of junk, and you see a desk, open the drawers.
Okay.
Open the drawers. You see like one of those old crank up radios, the Victrolas, mm-hmm. open the doors on that, you know, just open things and look, because I've found a lot of good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a desk in this piece of pile of crap junk shop that smelled like cat piss. And I opened the desk drawers, and there was just a big pile of paper stuff in there. And I just started kind of flipping through it. Boom, there it was.
Wow.
This advertisement. And I said, how much do you want for this paper? He goes, all of it. I said, all of it? One of it? What? He goes, I don't know. Dollar.
Sure.
I said, yeah, I'll take it. So it cost me a dollar. I mean, I don't think there was, I bought all of it, but all the big stack of paper.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there was anything. I think I threw everything else away, but, you know, that was, you know. I also have an original Lenny Bruce poster that is like advertising an upcoming show.
Yeah. Which was, you know, if you're unfamiliar, Lenny Bruce is one of the inspirations for Carlin comedically.
Mm-hmm.
And Lenny, to me, I've tried to listen to the recordings, and it's comedy does not age well.
No,
for some of it,
you need to dead. You can't listen to Lenny the way you listen, you know, to Bill Burr.
Yeah, because you're going to say Lenny was not funny, but that is not true.
It's
you're
going
to say it's out of context. You just have to appreciate what you can't appreciate, right?
Yeah, like I read this article in the last 10 years or so where Patton Oswalt was saying that he was. It was an article about how good Bill Hicks was, and he mentions in it that Lenny Bruce wasn't funny. And I was like, Patton, you, the best you could say is I don't think Lenny Bruce was funny.
Yeah,
but. Even that statement, I have a little bit of an issue with. I mean, Lenny spoke half of it was in Yiddish.
Mm-hmm.
The other half was in jazz slang.
Dopey.
Yeah. I mean,
the word dopey.
I mean, you have to, if you're going to give Lenny a legitimate shot, then you have to hit pause, look up the word that you don't know.
It's Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's
but once you learn who this is that he's talking about, it's laugh out loud funny stuff, you know? I mean, it's hilarious. I love Lenny. I think I listen to him on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never listened to Bill Burr. I heard Bill's great, but
yeah. No, he is great. And then there's significance with Lenny of free speech. There, you know, there's a time you couldn't say shit or you would get taken to jail because you used profanity in public.
Yeah, so I mean he changed comedy, but there's no doubt about that, but I also think he's legitimately funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the funniest person that ever lived, but you know, I think anybody that says he's not funny is just not giving him enough of a chance.
Yeah, I think so. Well, to even when Carlin is the guy that's trying to be Lenny.
Yeah.
You at least have to give him credit for that.
And I mean, even people like, I mean, you go back and sit a 20-year-old down now and play them Bill Hicks stuff. You know, what's Waco?
Yeah.
He had a 10-minute bit on Waco. Nobody knows Waco anymore under the age 30. I mean, if you're going to give something a shot, you need to dedicate a little time. But anyway, we're off the subject.
This Lenny poster is what you were saying.
Yeah, I have an original. Like one, it's kind of big, but it's the kind of thing they would just staple up on a phone pole.
Mm-hmm.
Which those, you know, there's a few of Lenny posters that have been mass produced. That Frank Zappa was involved in one of them. That you know aren't. I mean, they're rare, but not super rare. But I've never seen another actual Lenny poster.
Yeah,
you know, $5, by the way. You know,
good deal.
Yeah, in a junk show. Great junk that I have.
Well, let's jump to what is your unicorn that you're searching for? Because maybe somebody listening knows where to get the thing that you're after.
I know where one of these is, and they're in there's a port in it's not Ann Arbor. What's Port Huron?
Port Huron.
Huron in Michigan.
Lynch's Irish Tavern is the gig you're thinking of.
Yes. There's a junk shop in that town.
Okay.
In the basement. There's a prisoner's dentist chair where it's a picture, an old dentist chair in your mind. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's things gorgeous, even without what I'm about to tell you. But there are shackles for the feet, the legs, the arms, and there's a cage around the head.
Wow.
That straps your head in and you can see where the dentist could open a little door and get in there and work on your teeth.
Almost like an S&M mask.
Very much. And I think I think he wants $10,000 for it, if I remember.
That's pretty pricey.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
And I told him so.
What do you think? What do you think? Is that $2,000?
I would definitely do $50 on it. I mean, no question. No question I would do $50
on it. Stu from Port Huron, if you're listening.
I mean,
I don't know why
you
used your name in it, but
the $2,000, it could be worth $10,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care. It's obnoxious. You know why? I don't have $10,000 and I want this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. You know, here's another. I mean, I've got a list of these things that I want. There was a. Do you remember in the Addams Family movie, Cousin It pulls up in that car with a big bubble on the top?
I don't remember that one specifically, but
yeah. I spent years arguing with a man who has one.
Okay.
Apparently, Mercedes-Benz made one as a kind of a half joke, half real that they pretty much only. And I'm not a car guy, so again, if you're listening, you're thinking, "Well, you got that wrong," or whatever. Okay, fine. From what this guy told me, you know, they would take them to car shows. They're little bitty tiny. They have three wheels on them,
mm-hmm.
and they look amazing, you know. And, you know, I saw it in the dude's driveway and just pulled over and rang the doorbell and said,
hey,
you know, I don't know if this offends you, but I got $100 in my pocket that I could give you for that. Mm-hmm. And he was a cool guy, and he ended up telling me about the car and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so we played the game. So how much you want to sell it for? No, I don't know if I want to sell it yet. I'm not sure. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, nice to meet you.
Well, half of that is the guy wants you to haggle.
Yeah.
He wants you to ask questions because he's got this cool thing and he wants to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to tell me all about mm-hmm. it, you know, which he did. And I loved
it. It's a source of pride, but also you're there to hear about it.
Yeah. So I don't know, for years and years and years, whenever mm-hmm. I was near there, I would just. And sometimes he wasn't home. I'd pull in and, you know, I would say, I got 125 this time. There's no way I can afford that car. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's worth, but my max amount isn't near what the thing.
No.
So, I mean, that's something that I would love to find,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Your show is Stuart Huff's Obsessive Curiosities. I was on the, if you're looking for an entry episode, I was on the wooden leg episode. I don't know what it's called, but you've
probably
got
the wooden leg episode.
The wooden leg episode. But is there a certain episode that you guys have done that's your favorite?
Can I say something that it might be construed as mean or rude?
Yeah.
I don't listen to my own podcast.
That's okay.
And I'll tell you why, just in case you're.
Probably because you're hypercritical.
Yes. I want to sit down and not think about the fact that I do this wrong and I do that wrong and this wrong and that wrong. I don't want to diminish the fun
mm-hmm.
of the podcast. So, and since I'm not, you know, Joe Rogan, and, you know, then mm-hmm. I can just go in and have fun. So I don't want to listen.
Okay.
But I will, you know, if you, there's one of my favorite people, Lowell, who's on the podcast a lot. We recorded a live, you weren't here at Limestone
no.
in Bloomington. I did the Limestone Festival here in Bloomington, and we recored a live with the Kinsey Institute, which mm-hmm. is sexual research, and they have a museum of sex items and objects and stuff like this. And we were at the big theater here. I think it's called the Buskirk or something.
Buskirk so, Chumley Theater.
Yeah, so it was a big theater, and it was packed. I couldn't believe it. Like it was, I was shocked that many people came out. I was happy, you know.
Yeah.
And the girl that came to show us the she brought the junk this time, mm-hmm. you know. And she's showing us these. She was amazing. I mean, she was like before we started, Brent. She was nervous. She even told me, "I don't know if I could do it." And I was like, "You're gonna be fine. Don't worry about it." And then we pressed record, and the girl just kicked into. She was so funny and so wonderful. Lowell tells me that we just released the live one like 2 days ago, and Lowell says it's the best thing we've done.
Okay. So check out the live episode. I believe the title is called Wooden Dildos. I just made that up, but
yes,
it
you
might
did.
Be.
She showed some good stuff.
Good. Yeah. I'm excited to listen to it.
Yeah. Some weird sex stuff.
Thanks for being on, Stuart.
Thank you for having me, Brent.